We come to the Lord's table today, and we've been talking for weeks now. We've had a lot of special Sundays and things in between, but we've been talking about the signs of the times. As we come to the Lord's table today, a couple of thoughts I wanted to give you in answer to the question, what does communion have to do with the signs of the times, with what's going on right now? When we come to this ancient exercise, you know, Jesus instituted this 2,000 years ago, and we reenact this, what does it have to do with what's going on right now in the world? In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 26, in that passage where Paul is doing the teaching on the Lord's Supper, he says, "For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." You see, everything before Jesus came the first time was focused on his coming. You read all the prophecies. You see all of it lining up, and you can see the building right to a crescendo where he comes. Since he came the first time, now we sit sandwiched between two comings. The first coming that we remember every time we reenact the experience of his death on the cross. You proclaim the death of Jesus until he comes, and we remember to remind one another of his second coming. Many churches have a table on their communion table, it has on there, "In remembrance of me." And for some reason, so often the church forgets half of what they are supposed to remember. The first half is that he did come. He died on the cross. He died for the sins of the whole world. Every sin, past, present, and future, that man would ever commit, he took upon himself. All the sin of the world came upon Jesus as he died in our place on the cross. The substitutionary death of Jesus, he was our substitute there. He was buried, and 3 days later, he arose again. And we proclaim that truth. But that's one half of what we're supposed to remember. The other half is you proclaim this until he comes. He's coming again. He's coming again. All of the New Testament Christians lived in the light, the expectancy that Jesus was coming again. In Luke 22, as you read the story there of the, you can look at it later, read the whole passage in context, but you'll see there as Jesus having this Last Supper with his disciples, they come to that third cup of the evening, And they were going back, redoing this Passover feast, this feast of remembrance of what God had done. But even in that feast, there were threads of prophetic words of what was going to happen. It was God's plan that would be acted out. And Jesus became the fulfillment of that Passover that very night. But he said these words, "I'm not going to drink again of the vine with you until I come in my kingdom." Okay. When is this kingdom going to come? Simple answer, when the king comes. The first time he came, he set up his kingdom where? In our hearts. Now, Paul would teach about that. He says, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Covering a lot of theological ground here right now. Hope you see this whole picture. And that's where, when he came the first time, he came as a suffering servant. He came in on a donkey into Jerusalem. He laid down his life. But when he comes the second time, that isn't how he's going to be coming. He's going to be coming as the reigning, ruling Lord. And he's going to set up his kingdom on this earth. Physical kingdom. Hallelujah is right. So there's a sign. We also see, as we come and we reenact this ancient ritual, we see the battle that is raging around us. It reminds us that there's a world that is at war about this very thing that we will remember today. Because the world is against Jesus, isn't it? How many times have you seen recently where the world has allowed Jesus to gain ground? They're few, aren't they? What is, as history rocks on, what do we see the world wanting to do? Push him to the side. Say, doesn't matter. So we see the world is against him, it's against his chosen people. The world's against his adopted people. We've been grafted in as non-Jew. Against his land, that place in Israel, that continues to be the stackpole, the place that everybody wants. Everybody desires to possess that place. Why? Because God said it's his place. You see, you have, in very simple terms, the world, you can see it as God and not God. I say that to you many times, but I want you to see the simplicity of it. What does communion have to do with the signs of the time? Never before has the stark reminder of what we remember at his communion table showed us a sharper contrast than today in the world in which we live. Communion renews, revalidates, revives the church in a very singular simplicity. You see, I've said to you many times in the past, communion is God's built-in mechanism of revival. For it brings us back to the simplicity of what we're all about. Yes, the answer to every question is Jesus. Communion carries us to our roots too. What are we rooted in? Well, you can answer that for yourself, but look at our country. What are the true roots of this country, of the freedom that has existed in this country, of what we've enjoyed as far as the blessings of God now since 1776? What have we enjoyed here? What are our roots? Our roots are in the Lord. We have a very Judeo-Christian heritage that this... our law, our whole legal system, everything, our sense of what is right, our sense of generosity and kindness and giving is rooted in this book. It's rooted in the principles of the founding of this country. It's not rooted in secular humanism. It's not rooted in polytheism. It's not rooted in atheism. It's rooted in one God who sent His Son, Jesus, to be our Savior. That's the simplicity of coming to the Lord's table. Gentlemen, if you would join me at the table. The Scripture says that on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, it says He took bread and He broke it. And He said, "This is My body, which is for you. Take, eat." And after supper, He offered the cup. And He said, it was the third cup of the evening. I keep saying that because the fourth cup is coming when He sets up His kingdom on this earth. But it was the third cup, the cup of redemption. It was through His blood that He would buy our salvation. Apart from the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. In His blood, His poured out blood for us, we have forgiveness. Before we partake, I ask you to bow in prayer and let us examine ourselves, as the Scripture says. If during this time you'd like to come to the altar, come and pray, go get someone else and come to the altar and pray. But whatever God leads you to do in this time of examination, let Him examine your heart. So now let us come to the Lord's table with a confidence that the One who died for our sins, who was buried and arose again, is the One who forgives our sin today and cleanses our hearts and makes us pure before Him. We thank Him. Lord, thank You for Your forgiveness. We bless Your name. Dane, this is the body of Jesus broken for you. Rick, the body of Jesus broken for you. Jay, the body of Jesus broken for you. Blood of Christ our Savior poured out in your behalf. Christ's blood for you, Dane. Blood of Jesus poured out for you, Rick. Amen. Oh, bless His name. It's not just a ritual. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. Come to His table. We invite all of you to the Lord's table who have professed Jesus as your Savior. Come and remember with us. Jesus broken for you. It is an open communion. We invite all of you to come. Y'all could be seated where you are. Regina has had a great thing that we were about to neglect to do. All of you that are going to McRae next Saturday, come on up here, and we're going to have a time of prayer over you. Yeah, my bodyguard's going with me. Twins separated at birth. There we go. All right. Yeah, stay in front. All right. Is this everybody? Everybody? Anybody in the back? All righty. Would you stand, and if some of you want to come and lay hands on some of these people as we send them out and for the mission that we're going to go to next Saturday. We'll be at the facility of First Baptist Church of McRae, and the people are going to come there for the medical clinic. And we hope to be able to share the good news in word, in deed, in demeanor with them. So please be praying for us. Join me in this prayer right now. Lord, for all of those who stand here who have given themselves for this, this mission next Saturday, I ask you, God, your blessing. I ask your protection that you would get us there and back home safely. And Lord, that while we're there, we would be the hands, the feet, the mouthpiece, the mind, the body of Jesus for these people. Lord, I would ask that you'd take away any suspicion that would come from those, especially those who don't speak English, that they would be able to come and they would feel a comfort within them. Lord, I ask you for opportunities to share Jesus Christ with them and the love of God with them. Lord, bless each one, and especially today, I pray you would bless Dr. O'Carey and Horizon International Mission, Lord, and all that that Kennedy puts his hand to in your name, Lord. You have used him as he has been part of us in many, many, many ways, Lord, all over the world. And I pray, Lord, that you would expand that. I pray, Lord, that you would provide. God, I'm praying that you'll bring along some people that'll provide financially in super abundant ways, Lord, that this could be multiplied throughout the earth. We bless you, Lord, right now. Thank you for what you're going to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. As we adjourn today, we'd sure like to get those cards from you. If you have an offering to bring to the Lord, there's a basket in the back and two baskets up here. God bless you. Go in His grace.